Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. On Freedom is Timothy Snyder's exploration of what freedom means beyond slogans and how it can be built, protected, and practiced in everyday life. Known for writing about authoritarianism, history, and civic responsibility, Snyder approaches freedom as something more demanding than the absence of constraint. The book invites readers to consider freedom as a positive project that requires institutions, habits, and shared commitments. Rather than treating liberty as a purely personal possession, Snyder emphasizes the conditions that allow people to act with dignity, pursue meaningful goals, and participate in self-government. The argument is grounded in historical awareness and contemporary concerns, especially the ways modern societies can drift towards cynicism, manipulation, and resignation. By tying political freedom to education, truth-seeking, public health, and resilient communities, the book aims to clarify how democratic life is sustained. It is written for readers who want a principled framework for thinking about rights and responsibilities in an age of polarization and information disorder. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, freedom is a positive practice, not just the absence of limits. A central theme is the difference between negative freedom and positive freedom. Negative freedom focuses on being left alone, minimizing interference from the state or from other people. Snyder presses readers to ask a harder question: left alone to do what and with what capacities. Positive freedom is about having real options and the power to pursue them. That requires more than permission. It depends on education, safety, health, and a social environment where opportunity is not reserved for a few. This shift changes how one judges politics. Instead of treating freedom as a static condition, the book frames it as a practice that must be cultivated, defended, and renewed. It also challenges the tendency to equate freedom with consumer choice or personal expression, while ignoring the background conditions that make choice meaningful. When institutions erode, when people lose trust in one another, or when public goods collapse, many individuals may still feel unregulated yet become less able to shape their own lives. In this view, freedom is inseparable from capability and responsibility. It grows through deliberate investment in human development and through civic norms that make cooperation possible. Secondly, the infrastructure of freedom institutions, law, and civic habits, Snyder highlights that freedom is not self-sustaining. It depends on an infrastructure made of laws, independent institutions, and public habits that limit arbitrary power. Courts, free media, professional civil services, and reliable elections are not technical details. They are the guardrails that keep personal lives from being dominated by coercion, corruption, or fear. Yet institutions alone are insufficient if citizens treat them as distant machines. Civic habits matter: participation, local engagement, volunteering, and the willingness to defend due process even for opponents. The book's broader message is that democratic freedom is a collective achievement maintained by people who take ownership of public life. Snyder's historical sensibility also underscores how quickly institutions can be hollowed out when citizens become cynical, when violence is normalized, or when leaders demand loyalty over legality. He encourages a practical view of citizenship, where freedom is strengthened by routines of accountability, transparency, and shared problem-solving. These routines include supporting investigative journalism, insisting on ethical standards, and resisting the quiet temptations of apathy. The result is a picture of freedom as a lived system, one that can either be reinforced daily or allowed to decay. Thirdly, truth, language, and the battle against manipulation. Another major topic is how freedom depends on a relationship to truth. When public language is flooded with propaganda, conspiratorial thinking, or performative outrage, people become easier to control. Snyder connects this to a basic democratic requirement: citizens must be able to distinguish reality from narrative pressure in order to make informed choices. He emphasizes that information disorder is not just an online annoyance, it is a political weapon that weakens trust, isolates individuals, and turns shared problems into tribal identity contests. In such conditions, people may feel free because they can say anything, but the collective capacity to act rationally collapses. The book, therefore, treats truth-seeking as an ethical discipline. It includes media literacy, curiosity, and a willingness to revise beliefs. It also includes building environments where honest speech is rewarded rather than punished. Snyder's framework suggests that protecting freedom means defending institutions that produce and test knowledge, such as responsible journalism, universities, and research communities. It also means resisting the reduction of politics to entertainment. If citizens cannot agree on basic facts, they cannot sustain self-government. Freedom, then, requires language that clarifies rather than confuses, and public norms that value evidence over spectacle. Fourthly, freedom and equality, dignity, opportunity, and social solidarity. Snyder treats equality not as an enemy of freedom, but as one of its enabling conditions. If vast inequality prevents large segments of the population from accessing education, healthcare, stable work, or safety, then formal rights exist without practical agency. The book's approach encourages readers to see dignity as a political foundation. People who are humiliated, excluded, or economically cornered are more vulnerable to demagogues who offer resentment in place of solutions. Social solidarity becomes a form of freedom building because it reduces fear and increases the ability to plan for the future. This does not mean uniformity or forced sameness. It means creating fair rules and shared supports so that individuals can develop their talents and participate in public life. Snyder's perspective also links personal flourishing to public investment. Schools, libraries, safe neighborhoods, and accessible healthcare function as freedom multipliers because they expand what people can realistically do. The topic pushes readers to rethink common arguments that frame public goods as restrictions. Instead, the book suggests that well-designed collective systems can widen personal horizons, enabling the independence and creativity that freedom promises. In this view, equality supports freedom by turning rights into real capabilities. Lastly, resisting authoritarian drift through daily choices and collective action. A final core theme is how societies slide away from freedom and how individuals can respond before the damage becomes irreversible. Snyder's work often examines authoritarian dynamics, and this book frames resistance as both moral and practical. Authoritarian drift is fueled by resignation, the belief that nothing matters, and the habit of outsourcing responsibility to strongmen or to algorithms. The antidote is active citizenship, forming associations, building networks of trust, and keeping public institutions answerable. Snyder stresses that freedom is endangered when people accept political violence, tolerate corruption, or treat opponents as less than human. Everyday choices become political choices, including how people speak, what they share, where they spend attention, and whether they show up for local governance. The book's emphasis is not on heroic gestures, but on consistent commitment. It encourages readers to cultivate courage, patience, and a long view of civic life. Practical engagement can include supporting community organizations, participating in elections at every level, and defending the principle that power must be constrained by law. By describing freedom as something that can be lost gradually, Snyder underscores the urgency of proactive, collective action rather than retrospective regret. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a deeper definition of freedom than partisan talking points provide. It will resonate with citizens worried about polarization, propaganda, institutional decay, and the sense that public life is becoming ungovernable. Students, educators, policy-minded professionals, and anyone engaged in community leadership can use it as a framework for connecting personal autonomy to civic responsibility. The benefit to a reader's life comes from the book's insistence that freedom is built through habits and environments, not merely declared. That perspective encourages practical steps, strengthening one's relationship to truth, investing in skills and education, participating locally, and supporting institutions that protect rights. It can also reduce helplessness by showing how individual and collective actions reinforce each other. Compared with similar books that focus only on warning signs or on abstract political theory, Snyder's approach stands out for tying historical awareness to a constructive values-based program. It argues for freedom as a shared project with concrete prerequisites, making it both intellectually clarifying and actionable. For readers looking to translate concern into responsible engagement, it is worth buying as a guide to sustaining democratic life. If you would like to support Timothy Snyder, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.